The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin this teaching today by asking a few questions. Are we reliable believers? How do you know? And would you like to see some information from Scripture to use to examine your life so that we can know that we are a reliable believer? Now, what I mean by reliable believer, what I'm meaning is that we are being dependable, consistent, steadfast, unfailing. A lot of different synonyms we could use for that, but are we reliable? In other words, can God count upon us knowing that we are true believers? And do we know that? And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to address this and see, are we? So with these statements in mind, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Begin reading in verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You read these verses and could just sound like it's just a bunch of verses, different thoughts coming together. But in these verses, in these five verses that we've just read, what we're seeing is John the Apostle is showing us, is helping us to know, as well as for others to know, the answer to our question. Are we reliable believers? Today we're going to look at three major points that we find in these verses to help us answer the question. The three different points are belief, love, and obedience. So let's begin and start with the first major point that we see is belief. Now, first of all, I want us to understand this is especially true when it comes to belief in Jesus Christ in a few different situations. At least we're going to cover a few different situations. There'd be a lot more. We could add a lot more points to under this than what we're going to in the time of the sermon here today. But the first situation that we would want to take a look at under belief and seeing that's especially true when it comes to belief in Jesus Christ. The first one is, we believe Jesus Christ is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, or that he is the anointed, or the anointed one from God, and all that that entails. No, we're not going into a great, exhaustive, detailed study of this particular term, but we believe that, and we would be able to show others why we believe this. Let's go back here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. The A part of the verse, it says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, obviously, with John in his writings, he is doing a comparative sense. If one believes this, then this is true. Well, what John is implying is, and if you don't believe this, then the other is true. So in other words, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and therefore born of God. If someone doesn't believe that, they're not born of God. The second situation where it helps us to understand belief, especially seeing Jesus Christ, is we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Same passage, 1 John 5 and verse 1, the B part. And everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. In other words, we believe he is the Son of God. We know that he's the Son of God because God declares that he is the Son of God. And again, no, we're not going to study a lot into the point. We're just making the statement here. These are some situations that help us to understand that one of the first things for us to know that we are reliable witnesses, we believe. Well, what are some of the things that we believe? Well, I'm tying it in to these scriptures that we're reading to belief in various things about Jesus Christ. One is we believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah of God. We believe that he is the Son of God. Okay. The third situation is we believe Jesus came in the flesh. Now let's go here to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 John 4 and verse 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, I've already made this statement. In John's writings, if we don't confess these things, then the opposite is true. And so we have to take a look at this. Are we reliable witnesses? Do we believe? This is part of our faith. Do we believe this? And how do we know this? And why do we believe this? Because, brethren, let's please realize that denying that Jesus is the Christ and denying that Jesus is the Son of God indicates that a person is a liar and an antichrist. 1 John 2, verse 22. 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This is where I'm basing my point on, that he is saying, if you believe this, this is true. But if you don't believe this, then this other is true, the opposite of is true. This is what he's showing us. And this is really clear in his writings, and we see this. Another point that we see here is it also makes fellowshipping with the Father and the Son impossible. If we don't believe these things. Let's go to 2 John 7, just reading these verses as a background, and then I read another verse. Verse 7, it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have worked or wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Verse 9, whosoever transgress and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, I know this doesn't say anything in that sense about our fellowship, but we have God if we believe these things. But let's go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have to have these things in place to be able to see this. And so we have to understand it in that way. But okay, I want us to take a look a little bit deeper into this particular point that we're looking at about belief that Jesus came in the flesh. First of all, we know that Jesus was a man. And we also know that Jesus was without sin. That's an important distinction to make at the very beginning of believing that Jesus came in the flesh. As a result of those two statements, and we believe them both, And if you have an issue with either one of those, then we obviously need to spend more time on them. I'm making them as statements of fact that they're true, and they are. But as a result of this, therefore, we also know that the doctrine of original sin cannot be true. Now, why am I bringing that point up? Because this is where a lot of the whole thing of Jesus did not come in the flesh, this is where it came from. Is because of that doctrine. It is a myth and it is a lie. John the Apostle condemned those who denied that Jesus came in the flesh as deceivers and antichrist. But what does this mean? What does it mean to deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Well, it means to deny that Jesus was a man with a flesh and bone and body and blood like other men. Just like all the other men walking around the time whenever he walked on here. Just like all the men present here. Just like all the women here. They're not men, but they're women, but they're of mankind. It is denying that that's true. That's what this is denying when it says that he didn't come in the flesh. It's saying something else. So, are there people today who deny that Jesus came in the flesh? And the answer is yes. There are people who deny that he came in the flesh. Those people today who believe in this doctrine of original sin, or to put it in another term so we'll understand what it actually is, it's the doctrine of sinfulness of human flesh. In other words, all human flesh, if you're born of flesh, you are born sinful. That's the essence of this doctrine of original sin. And where it comes from is when Adam sinned, transgressed, he transgressed for all mankind, and he did, but there's a real leap there. Therefore, anytime a person is born, man is born into the world, he is born a sinner. That's what you'd have to have. That's what you'd have to have. And so, those who believe this doctrine must believe either that Jesus, who came in the human flesh, was born a sinner. That's what they would have to believe. Or they must deny that he came in the flesh. Now, I started this off by saying, we know that Jesus was a man, and we also know that he was without sin. So I'm telling you, I am contradicting this doctrine. I mean, that's what I'm doing, because this is what John is doing. And he's addressing this. Why would some find it hard to believe that Jesus was 100% flesh and blood and bone, human man? Why would some find it hard to believe that? To me, it's strange to believe that that's not a true statement. And this is what John is teaching, that he was a man with flesh, blood, and bone, human man. That's what he's addressing here. This is why he is teaching this. We also understand, brethren, that it is a serious error to deny the divinity of Christ. And I'll hang with me. I'm making some points. It is a serious error to deny the divinity of Christ. In fact, I think we would also might need to question if someone could be a true believer if they even deny his divinity or that he is a God being. And I'm not talking about that he is a God being today. Are there some who teach that he is not a God being today? Yes, there are some who teach that he is not a God being. And we know that's wrong. Okay. Please also understand, John taught that it is equally serious to deny the humanity of Jesus. That's why I'm making that distinction. Jesus Christ today is divinity, is divine, is a God being, whatever term we would feel more comfortable using. It is also just as serious to deny that as it is also serious to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ when he walked around on the earth. 1 John 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. Second John, verse 7. We read this earlier. I'm going to read it again here. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So let's ask the question. Why was John condemning those who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? The answer is because at his time when he was writing this, it was because of the teachings of the Gnostics, meaning they were learned. They had knowledge. We know more than others. I mean, this is what was going on, and you can see this through a lot of different, even secular sources will show you that this is what was going on, and this is what he's addressing. This is why he's addressing this particular point. The Gnostics had a combination of different beliefs. They combined together some of the Christian beliefs with Eastern religion, with pagan philosophies, and the doctrine of mysticism. Now, that's a broad overview, but these people. They believed some Christian beliefs. They believed all these other things, and they combined it all together, and they came up with this philosophical belief. And as a result of the combining all of these different types of beliefs together, they denied that Jesus Christ was come in the flesh because of their belief that matter is evil. Now, is this important? Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand where this all came from, and we'll bring it down to today. So according to their belief, if Jesus had come with a real human body, flesh and blood and bone, he would have been sinful. I mean, that's where they have to come to. Let me show you a couple of other things, give you a list of a few other things that they held to as beliefs. No. They denied the real embodiment of Jesus Christ. Embodiment, sometimes you see that word as incarnation. You know, you see that word at times, and sometimes you read it and you go, I don't even know what that's talking about. Well, they denied the real embodiment of it. They also denied the bodily sufferings on the cross. They also denied his bodily resurrection. The reason for this was because of their belief that man's material physical body and all material things are polluted and sinful. And he couldn't have gone through that because he would have been a sinner. I mean, they're trying to make him not a sinner is what they're in their thinking. This is what they're trying to do. Also, they denied that he came in the flesh. This belief was to save him from sin. Because if he came in the flesh, he also had to have been born a sinner. This is their belief. If you believe this, then you got to believe this. Well, I've already said it. We believe, we teach, I believe, I think you believe, that Jesus came in the flesh, that he came as a flesh human man, and he was without sin. They couldn't believe that. They denied that. Therefore, they wanted him to be sinless. Therefore, they said, therefore, he didn't come in the flesh. This is where this comes from. In other words, they also denied his fleshly manifestations. And the reason for that was because they were not real. It was only apparent. That's all they could come to in their philosophical thinking and beliefs. Therefore, it is from these teachings of the Gnostics or Gnosticism, along with their pagan philosophical beliefs, that all material or all physical things are really evil. And this is where this doctrine of original sin came from. This is why they had to create it. It's not biblical, it's anti-biblical, in fact. It is important because the Bible teaches that Jesus was a man and that he came in the flesh. And so it is important. It is important for us to understand. It's even important for us to understand, I think, where it came from. I don't mean to have an exhaustive study on it, but you have to at least understand where it's coming from. Because this doctrine of original sin teaches that man, meaning his flesh, his bodily nature, are all corrupted and sinful because of Adam's sin. In other words, it would be impossible to believe the teaching of man's inherently bodily sinfulness from Adam without either believing one or another. They have to come to one or the other, and that is believing that Jesus was born a sinner or that he was not a man. And that's contrary to what Scripture says. So in other words, for the doctrine of original sin to be true, Jesus was either born a sinner or he was not a man, therefore he didn't come in the flesh. And that's where that comes from. And this is what John is addressing. Because Jesus was a man, he did come in the flesh, and he was without sin. Therefore, this teaching, this doctrine of original sin, is a myth and it's a lie. It's not true. He was not God with flesh stretched over his God-spirit body. He was flesh and blood and bone man as any other man. That's what John is addressing. Go to 2 John again. We read several verses before. Verse 7, we've already read a couple of times, but I'm going to read it here again. For many deceivers are entered into the world and confess not that Jesus came in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He labels it very clearly what it is. Verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bideth, that Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 1 John 4, verse 2. 1 John 4, verse 2. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can tell the difference because we have the Spirit of God. Hold your place in 1 John, because I'm going to go back to the Gospel of John just for one verse. You know it, but I'm going to read it. It's in John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John addresses this point over and over and over and over. Now go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed dwells in him. I've talked about here recently in other sermons about God is developing a holy seed. And of course, we know that that obviously extends to Jesus Christ, but it also extends to all of those of us who have the Holy Spirit within us, Jesus Christ living in us. This is talking about, and his seed, God's seed, remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So it's real clear when you just look at it and you think about it, Jesus came in the flesh, meaning he was a flesh and blood and bone human man, and he came and he did not sin. John is saying not only is this is referring to Jesus Christ, this is also talking about us. Now, do we sin? Yes, we sin. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. To use one of the terms for transgression or sin is to miss the mark. He never missed the mark. We missed the mark. But that in itself is not a sinner. The sinner is the person who continues to do it as a way of life. And that's plain in a lot of other places. I'm not going to go through scripture, but I can demonstrate it through other things to show it is real clear. A liar is one who practices it. A liar is not necessarily oven by itself a person who may state a false, give false information. You may do it for a lot of different reasons, or we may do it for a lot of different reasons. But does that make the person actually a liar? No, unless they're practicing it. That's what Scripture is showing. Jesus never made any mistake missing the mark ever. We missed the mark. But God is still looking at it and saying, but this person who is confessing these things and overcoming these things is not sinner in the sense of the person who is out practicing it as a way of life. That's what he is addressing. 1 John 5, verse 4, the A part of the verse, it says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, we would believe that, right? We believe we're of God, we're born of God, and we overcome the world. Because we're not involved in the world. We're not practicing the world. We're not doing their ways that God condemns. Drop down to verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. Now, there are times whenever, hold it, wait a minute. I don't know how that is. Well, this is how it is. This is how it is. But he that is begotten of God knows himself, and that wicked one who touches him not. Do we miss the mark? Yes. Are we practicing sinners? I hope not. And this is what he's talking about. Whosoever is born of God sins not. That's how Jesus was a man and didn't sin. Let's go on. Let's look at the next major point to help us in answering the question, am I reliable believer? The second major one that we see is that of love. Is love. Brethren, do we realize that Jesus made brotherly love a characteristic or a sign of being a disciple? And the answer is, of course, I know you know that. So in other words, if we don't have this, are we a disciple? I'm saying in John's writings, he does comparisons. He makes a statement, and there in his writings, the opposite is true if you don't have this. John, Gospel of John 13, verse 34. These are the words of Jesus Christ at the Passover. John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Jesus also made it a commandment to prove that we are his friends. That we are friends. We are friends of Jesus Christ. This is still in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, John 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, he's telling them, I'm laying down my life for you because you're my friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And if you do these things that I tell you to do, that I command you to do. Verse 17, drop down to verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. John also emphasized brotherly love. So let's go back to 1 John again. Go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 John 2, verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. 1 John 3, verse 10. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, are made known, and the children of the devil are made known. I mean, that's what he's saying. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother is not of God. He doesn't say those words, but that's the implication. That's what he's saying. I told you he makes a statement. This is a true statement, and if this is not true, then the opposite of is there. This is what he's saying. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. First John 4. First John 4. Verse 7. First John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. Now, he's already said other things that if you do, you're born of God. Now he's saying, if we love one another, we're born of God. And we know God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. There are four different things that John has emphasized in these few verses that we read here. One thing he emphasized is being in the light. If we love one another, we are in the light. The second thing he says, if we love one another, we are the children of God. If we love one another, the third thing is we are passing from death to life, which is what is pictured by baptism. And the fourth thing that he's emphasizing here is knowing God and being born of God. And he's connecting it to loving one another. So an important point that we see is that someone who is truly born of God, and that's what it says in 1 John 4, verse 7, we read it, not only believes in Jesus, but also loves the children of God. Remember what we're looking at here. In this teaching of John, he's showing us, and I'm showing, bringing it out as three major points. And the second major point is love. And he's tying it into loving one another, loving God and loving one another. And it's showing that we're genuine, true believers, genuine believers, reliable believers, because we have this love for one another. Now, remember what I've also been saying throughout this sermon? John has the direct opposite of it is also there is implied. If we don't love one another, then we're not a reliable believer. Do we find people today who demonstrate that they don't really love one another? The answer is yes, and this is really sad. We have Church of God groups that won't attend a function because they know somebody from another group is going to be there. That is so contrary. I'm not talking about whether you attend the function or you do or you don't the function. That's not the point. It's the attitude of, I'm not going to go there because some people from this other group might be there. That screams out against what John is teaching us here, to be known as a reliable believer. And we need to be very cautious. That's the point. That's why I'm giving this. We're going into the Passover season. We need to be examining and looking at ourselves. That's the purpose here. But in discussing the importance of loving the children of God, John also focuses on obedience. And this brings us to the third major point, which is in answering our question, am I a reliable believer? And the third point is obedience. John focused on this point earlier in the book of 1 John, and let me show you some places and some statements, points that he emphasized as he was doing this. He stated obedience was essential in a few different places. Let's see a couple of these places. Well, I'm going to see about three or four of them. The first one is, he said, it is essential to having fellowship with the Father. Now, if I ask a show of hand, how many would want to have fellowship with the Father? We would all want to have fellowship with the Father. Well, he shows us, and it's tied into love, and it's tied into obedience. Let's go back to 1 John 1, verse 6. Begin there. 1 John 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, all these things he's talked about. If we really don't believe these things about Jesus Christ in certain situations, if we don't believe that he came, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he did come in the flesh, all those things. And if we say that we are, you know, that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, that's walking in darkness. In his book, he would be saying that would be walking in darkness. May not know that a person is walking in darkness to hold some of these things, but this is what he is saying because he wants us to wake up and realize that's the truth. This is the situation. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The next essence in having obedience he connects together is the essence to knowing Jesus, knowing him. It's in 1 John 2 and verse 3 and 4. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. The next thing that he shows us is obedience is essential to loving God. It's essential to loving God. 1 John 2 and verse 5. Verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And then the next one, obedience is essential to abiding in Christ or in Jesus. And that's verse 6, the very next verse. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that says he abide in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Obedience is also essential to being a child of God. All of this is before chapter 5. Remember, that's where we're focusing is on chapter 5. And all of this is before that. He's talking about these things in various ways. This is in 1 John 3 and verse 10, essential to being a child of God. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil are manifest. They are made known. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Another one of these points of obedience is essential is to our prayers being answered. To our prayers being answered. That's 1 John 3 and verse 22. We're in 1 John 3. This is in verse 22. And whosoever and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then we come to chapter 5, which is where we've been focusing most of the sermon. On to chapter 5, John here focused on obedience as being essential in two primary places. One is obedience is essential in loving the children of God. He makes that statement in verse 2, 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And then the second point there is loving God himself. And that's in 1 John 5, verse 3, the A part of that verse. 1 John 5, verse 3, the A part. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then in the same verse, verse 3, the B part, he shows that this point of obedience or commandment keeping is not a burden. And his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. This reminds me of a passage of David and his attitude in this back over in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In verse 7, we begin in verse 7, Psalm 19 in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And verse 11. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them, meaning the commandments of God, the word of God, there is great reward. Well, that's what John is showing. There's a lot more details that we could cover about these verses that we've seen back in 1 John, especially 1 John chapter 5. But brethren, we need to ask ourselves if we know whether or not we are reliable believers. Are we doing these things in the proper way that what John is addressing here? You know, are we these kind of believers? And the thing is what we've been showing here, is John throughout shows us that we can know that we are reliable believers. Because we can just simply ask ourselves and examine ourselves, which is what, if we have any questions on these, we need to do so. And that is, we believe Jesus is the Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus came in the flesh. We love God and we love the brothers and sisters that are part of Jesus Christ. We also obey God's word and his commandments. And we can simply go through, examine our lives, take a look at these, and answer yes to every one of these. And according to John chapter 5, as a result of saying yes to all of these and knowing that the answer is right, then yes, we can say, I know that I am a reliable believer. So again, we ask ourselves, are we? Are we a reliable, dependable, consistent, steadfast, and unfailing believer? I pray we are. And if we have questions, that we would examine ourselves and look at ourselves in light of this. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God bless each one of us as we really look at ourselves and come to the conclusion and know that we know that we are a reliable believer. So God bless you all and happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.